This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. In the Atlanta Public Schools cheating scandal, while one trial is ending, there is the chance that another trial may not ever happen. Attorneys for Dr. Beverly Hall, the former Atlanta school superintendent, have confirmed that she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. They did not say whether or not she was capable of standing trial, but they did confirm that this is a serious medical condition. So what happens if Dr. Hall is unable to stand trial next year? WABE's legal analyst, Paige Pate, who's a criminal defense attorney in Atlanta and not connected to this case, is with us once again. Paige, welcome back. Good day.
Great to be with you, Dennis.
Let's start, first of all, with Dr. Hall's condition based on just what we know and without prying too much into it. Does breast cancer or any serious illness like this in and of itself make it impossible for a person to stand trial usually?
Well, not impossible, but it certainly can complicate things. The judge has a lot of options, though. If Dr. Hall is sick or still recovering at the time the trial is scheduled to go forward, the judge can sever, in other words, split her case off from the rest of the defendants, allow her to be tried later. That's a possibility. The judge could postpone the trial indefinitely until she does fully recover. Or the state may be willing to strike some deal with her and her lawyers, or perhaps dismiss the charge against her. So there's certainly other options that the court could consider if she is truly sick and unable to stand trial at the scheduled time.
But this case is a very complicated one because we're talking about allegations from the prosecution of racketeering, which in and of itself means there are lots of people involved. So if you sever Dr. Hall from that or try her at a different time significantly from the others, doesn't that complicate their cases?
Well, it certainly complicates the prosecution's case, and it makes the judge, I'm sure, very frustrated that he's going to have to go through that evidence for more than one trial. And that's a problem in any case where you try to add 30-plus defendants in one trial. It is logistically difficult to do. There's going to be confusion as far as which defendant did what. It's going to be incredibly time-consuming. I mean, we've seen a very lengthy trial over a simple matter just this past week and a half involving one APS educator. So imagine the difficulty of trying 30-plus of these folks together in a complicated RICO case with some of the defendants missing. So it could complicate things, but it can be done and has been done before when you have multiple defendants and one cannot go to trial for whatever reason.
And you raise an important point because while a lot of attention has been focused on the Tamara Cotman trial, that charge is not the basic charge of racketeering that has been brought against 35 others. This was a separate trial involving allegations that she did something to influence a witness, which is a much simpler kind of allegation, right?
Absolutely. Very straightforward. The case should really not have required more than a handful of witnesses. I think the prosecution, though, wanted to preview some of their evidence in the racketeering case, and that's why the trial lasted as long as it did.
One of the problems that's been cited quite often when we're talking about the case against the 35 defendants, including Dr. Hall, has been that it took the prosecutor's office, the DA's office, so long to bring this case to trial. On the other hand, because of the complications that we've been talking about, doesn't it take a while if you're going to have a case that you think you can win to get all those facts together, and you run the risk that defendants could get sick, as Dr. Hall has, or could even die, as unfortunately one of the other defendants, Willie Davenport, did?
Well, that's a risk, but I don't think a case like this needed to take as long as it did to get to the point of an indictment. I think a lot of people have criticized the district attorney's office for not evaluating this case better after the GBI did its investigation and saying, look, we can go forward with this handful of educators and administrators. We can try to structure some sort of deal with the others and try to do that sifting process before you get to an indictment instead of now, because things happen in life. People die, people get sick, and the further removed you get from the time that the incidents occurred, the more difficult it is, both for the prosecution and the defense, to really mount a case and effectively present the issues to a jury for their determination.
Now that we know that Dr. Hall is as sick as she is, if she is unable to stand trial and you're one of the other defendants, She is certainly the top of the pyramid in terms of the school system structure at the time. So what would her absence mean for defense attorneys and prosecutors when they try to put their own cases together?
Well, that's a great question, and I think there are really two issues to address. One is politically, what does it mean? And you focused this investigation on the top. You focused on Dr. Hall wanting to build the case to say that this corruption, if indeed it is corruption, went all the way to the top of the ladder. And so you've publicly said, this is what we're doing, this is our case, this is why it took so long, we needed to build that case to get to the top. And then the top's gone. And if the top is not available for prosecution, then you really have to explain to voters, taxpayers, everyone else, why it took so long to get to this point.
That's the political
question. That's the political question.
But there's the whole legal question for all the lawyers on both sides.
Right. You know, legally, it's not uncommon in a multi-defendant case for less than all of the defendants to be on trial at the same time. Sometimes they'll be severed, split apart just for judicial economy or ease of handling the witnesses and the evidence. Sometimes a defendant will plead guilty, and so obviously that defendant won't be on trial any longer. Perhaps they'll testify as a witness. Sometimes that can be an advantage to a defendant because you can empty chair, so to speak, the defendant that's not there and blame things on a person who's not there to defend him or herself. But again, when we're dealing with an alleged RICO enterprise that is this complex, according to the prosecution, there are going to be a lot of holes to fill. And if you don't have all the defendants present, I think the jury could be confused. I think it could certainly present challenges both for the prosecution and the defense.
Would this complicate things for the DA's office? And we're speculating a bit here, and I don't want to get into groundless speculation, but one of the things that often happens in a multi-defendant case is that prosecutors will try to get the testimony of one of the other defendants against another.
Of course.
In exchange for perhaps a more lenient sentence. So if Dr. Hall is not on trial, does that change what could happen with some of these other defendants?
I think so. But again, I think that the prosecution has always expected that some of the people charged in this big case will cut deals. I don't think they ever intended to try 30-plus people in the same courtroom at the same time. Now, what I think is interesting is perhaps this public statement about Dr. Hall's health is an attempt to engage the DA's office in some sort of resolution of her case and let the public know that there may be other reasons why the DA is willing to cut her a special deal, if that makes any sense. You know, let the public know that Dr. Hall's not in good health. We've already had one defendant die. If you won't completely dismiss the charges against her, let's do something reasonable here. And the fact that she is going through health problems, now publicly going through health problems, may give the district attorney's office some cover to cut her what the defense lawyers may believe is a reasonable deal.
Dr. Hall's attorney, Richard Dean, who's a former Atlanta U.S. attorney, a former top federal prosecutor here, has said Dr. Hall will continue to fight the charges, whatever her health concerns. So obviously it's unclear now as to whether she'll go to trial or not. But if she does, with those health concerns, what could the potential complications be there, or would there be any?
Well, a lot depends on her health. If this trial does indeed go forward with 30-plus defendants, it's not going to last a week. So if her health gets worse during the time of the trial, they could have to stop the trial, continue it to some other time, have a mistrial perhaps. It certainly does complicate things if you have a defendant who's not in good health, expected to sit through what is obviously going to be a very lengthy trial.
So the bottom line here is whether Dr. Hall eventually goes to trial or not, this latest statement certainly complicates things for the prosecution and the defense in what's already been a very complicated and very trying time for the Atlanta Public School System.
Absolutely. And if, as a result of this, or at least in part because of her health, she gets a special deal, then there are going to be a lot of lawyers arguing, hey, what about my client? Because Dr. Hall's at the top of this pyramid, and if she's going to get something that's less than what you've charged her with, that needs to be true for everyone else down below her. So I could see this case, if not falling apart, perhaps being resolved sooner than we expect.
Paige Pate, an Atlanta criminal defense attorney, again, not connected with this case. He is WABE's legal advisor. And one other note of disclosure, WABE's broadcast license is held by the Atlanta Board of Education. Paige, thanks so much again for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.